All rise.
The Honorable Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment. You may be seated.
Good morning. Chief Justice O'Connor is unable to be with us this morning, but she has read the briefs, will view the oral arguments, and will be fully participating in all of the cases. The first case this morning is Jeffrey Wynn versus the State of Ohio, case number 11-0632, for the appellant, Mr. Agarwal.
Chief Justice, and may it please the court, I reserve 2 minutes for a rebuttal. My name is Neil Agarwal. I represent the appellant, Jeffrey Gwynn, in this matter. The case before you today, Your Honor, is a question of admissibility, not sufficiency of evidence to prove a domestic violence enhancement. In this case, the defendant was charged with a felony of the third degree domestic violence on the grounds that he had two prior domestic violence convictions. At trial, the state introduced two exhibits to show prior journal entries. These are attached on page 26 and 27 of the appendix. The defendant argued at trial that neither of these two journal entries complied with Criminal Rule 32C, were defective, was not evidence of a conviction, and cannot be used as an enhancement to prove it as a felony of the third degree. In State versus Lester, this court set out under 32C a journal entry to be a final appealable order must contain four requirements: the fact of the conviction, the sentence, the judge's signature, and the timestamp indicating the entry upon the journal of the clerk. Here, State's Exhibit 3, the Akron Muni conviction on page 26, does not list anywhere the defendant entered a plea of guilty, was found guilty, or was convicted of any crime whatsoever. There is an initial plea at the very top that showed that he entered a plea of not guilty. Then it goes down further where he entered a timeout program, and then the charge was ultimately dismissed. Now, the Ninth District Court of Appeals said that a journal entry does not have to comply with Criminal Rule 32C to be admissible to prove an enhancement. They said there is a difference between being convicted of a crime and a conviction of the crime. That is a legal fiction that they determined between convicted of and a conviction. We are arguing there is no difference between convicted of and a conviction to prove an enhancement.
But you're confusing Criminal Rule 32C, which is a final appealable order determination, with the evidentiary determination of what evidence is admissible to prove a prior conviction. And shouldn't we be looking at Evidence Rule 803, for example, to determine what evidence would be admissible to prove a prior conviction, and not looking at a final appealable order criminal rule?
We would disagree with that, Your Honor. Under 2945.
Wait a minute. I asked a question of an either or. How do you disagree with an either or?
Your Honor, we are saying that it's not a question.
Is this a question of evidence in your view or not?
It's a question of admissibility of the evidence, not sufficiency of the evidence.
So how does the fact that we have a rule that says there's a final appealable order have anything to do with admissibility of evidence?
Well, that gets into the statute of 2945-75. That is the statute that is used to introduce a prior conviction for the purpose of enhancement.
Do you think there's only one way to prove a prior conviction?
Yes. We believe that
you think unless there is a judgment of conviction, that is the singular way to prove a prior conviction?
Yes.
And that would obtain then for enhancement of theft offenses. It would obtain for enhancement of any criminal offense, in your view?
Only if it's used to enhance the penalty. Oh, I'm sorry, not to use for the purpose of a penalty, but to enhance the degree of the offense. For example,
So a witness can't come in and testify, or we can't have other ways of proving a prior conviction?
Your Honor, a court speaks through its journal entries. And if we're going to introduce a prior journal entry or evidence of a prior journal entry, we need that journal entry to be brought in to prove the enhancement.
Answering the question I'm trying to have you focus on.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Are there alternative ways to prove a prior conviction other than a journal entry of conviction?
No. We are saying that under the statute, the 2945-75, that is the statute used to prove a prior enhancement, not of someone being convicted of something, but of a prior conviction. Now here,
the state argues that under 2919.25D that the defendant can either have previously pled guilty or have been convicted. You don't agree the statute says that?
No, we agree that the statute does say that, Your Honor.
So when you look at appendix on page 26 of your appendix, it's clear that the defendant pled guilty.
No, Your Honor. If you look at 26, right at the very top, his initial plea is not guilty. Then there's check boxes below that says the defendant entered a plea or was found convicted of or no contest plea. None of that has been signed. None of that has been checked. None of that has been dated. So this is not evidence that he pled guilty. It is not evidence he was convicted of or had a conviction for any domestic violence as far as State's Exhibit 3 is concerned.
So you think his conviction is voidable?
We don't think this is a conviction. It's not an enhancement. We don't think this could be introduced, Your Honor, to prove an enhancement. This is not evidence of anything to show a conviction or that he pled guilty of any offense.
Did he ever go back and challenge the entries in the prior case?
He did not. But
and did he serve the sentence that was imposed in the prior case?
Not the State's Exhibit 3, the Akron Muni case, Your Honor. And that was a dismissal of a case. Now, in Akron Municipal Court, people can enter into diversionary programs without entering a plea of any kind whatsoever.
Are you saying he entered into a diversion program?
Yes.
How do you know that?
It says that right there on page 26, under where it says ordered, he was assigned $50 and 30 days in jail, and then it would be dismissed on the condition he enters the timeout program, which is the Akron Municipal Diversionary Program.
And there's no journal entry that says dismissed per completion of the program signed by a judge, right?
Well, it says dismissed at the bottom of the journal entry.
Did the judge sign that?
Yes. It's dated 4/27/01.
And it says dismissed based on completion of the diversionary program?
No, it doesn't say that, Your Honor. It does say dismissed. Now,
But we really have to sort of interpolate what that does mean, don't we?
Well, you have to remember, Your Honor, that the state has the burden beyond a reasonable doubt to prove that he had two valid prior convictions. So here, the Ninth District Court of Appeals said that this is perfectly admissible, even though it doesn't comply with Criminal 32C. However, we find that is insufficient evidence to prove a prior conviction.
Mr. Agrawal, this is a case of conflict, is that correct, between
that is
the
correct.
Districts? And State versus Finney, the Sixth District, agrees with your position?
That is correct.
Is that correct?
In State versus Finney, they held that to prove the enhancement, the journal entry must comply with Criminal 32C because that meets the definition of a conviction.
Wouldn't one of your arguments, maybe your better argument, be, since we've tried to modify some of the entry of conviction language, that there was not a second conviction because it was a dismissal? And so it doesn't matter that it was a final appealable order or complied with 32C or anything. He had one conviction. He had one dismissal because he went to a diversion program. Why is that not? Am I misunderstanding that argument, or is that not an argument you're making?
No, we are arguing that this is not a conviction. We are arguing.
But you're arguing it's not a conviction because it didn't comply with the necessary language. What about the argument it's not a conviction because it was a dismissal following a diversion?
Well, that is a question of sufficiency of evidence, then, Your Honor, not a question of admissibility for Criminal Rule 32C purposes.
If we find against you and find that this document is admissible, do you still have an argument for sufficiency? Does this go back on sufficiency? Where do we stand?
Well, the lower court has already ruled in our favor on the sufficiency of this document. They said that this document is not sufficient evidence of an enhancement, and therefore it should be remanded back, at the very least, from a felony of the third degree to a felony of the fourth degree. The state has not cross-appealed that determination. So at the very least, if we lost this appeal, he would still be remanded back for a resentencing on the felony of the fourth degree.
Okay, I'm not clear then. Is your case based upon Exhibit 3, or is it based upon Exhibit 4? If Exhibit 3 is already not sufficient and that's not been appealed, then why you're not here arguing that then? Are you? You're arguing something, Exhibit 4.
Your Honor, we are arguing Exhibit 3 and 4. 3, in order to get to the sufficiency argument, they had to overcome the hurdle that it was admissible. We are arguing that you don't even get to the sufficiency argument if it doesn't meet the admissibility argument under Criminal Rule 32C. So first you have to see if it meets the technical requirements under Criminal 32C to be admissible, and then it's the jury function to determine if that document, in fact, is sufficient evidence to prove an enhancement.
Mr. Agrawal, if you look at 294575B, it says that whenever in the case it's necessary to prove the prior conviction, a certified copy of the entry of judgment in such prior conviction with evidence to identify the defendant is sufficient to prove such prior conviction. It doesn't say, though, that it's the only way to prove the prior conviction. Are you suggesting we interpret that statute to say this is the only way to prove the conviction?
What I'm suggesting, Your Honor, is that if we're using the statute, this is the only way. If the state is going to bring in an entry of judgment under this statute, it says only to prove a prior conviction. Now, if they're going to introduce other evidence, then you're not going to follow the statute. Then it would go under an evidentiary basis determined.
But are you saying that this is not an entry of judgment entry of judgment of the prior conviction because it does not match 32C?
Yes, that is our argument. And that also gets us into State's Exhibit 4, which is on page 27. Under State's Exhibit 4, this was a journal entry where the defendant pled guilty to a minor misdemeanor domestic violence. Now, there is no such offense under Ohio law for a minor misdemeanor domestic violence. We are arguing this is not a conviction. It fails the first prong of the Lester test, the fact of the conviction. Now, the state is arguing this is merely a typographical error, and the lower court agreed that it's a typographical error. However, we have no evidence before the trial court, before the appellate court, or before this court to indicate that it's just a typographical error and the judge actually allocated to a proper offense. We don't know if it's under their theory, a misdemeanor of the fourth degree, a misdemeanor of the first degree. We don't know. And the journal entry says twice minor misdemeanor and that the state asked that it be amended down to a minor misdemeanor. Now, the state in its brief on page 13 is saying this is the defendant's fault that these journal entries have been introduced because they didn't tell the state and the judge prior to the state arresting that the journal entries were defective. They had a duty to notify the court that the journal entries were defective. We would submit we are unable to find a single rule or statute or case law that in any way states that the defendant has to notify the state about the holes in his case. However, they're arguing if they would have told us, we could have gotten it corrected to help prosecute your client. Well, we submit there is no such requirement. Now, finally, we would ask that the syllabus read, in order to prove an enhancement that raises the degree of the offense, the judgment of conviction must comply with Criminal Rule 32C. That is simple and it is straightforward. If we allow any document to come in, a single sheet of paper that just says defendant guilty of domestic violence, without a judge's signature, without a timestamp, without a sentence, is perfectly admissible. Because in order to have those requirements, you're under 32C, and according to the lower court in the state, we don't need any of those requirements. We'll leave it all up to the jury.
Is 32C the standard for a final appealable order, or is it the standard for a judgment of conviction?
It is both, Your Honor. And I'd like to reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Ms. DiMartino.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Heaven DiMartino. I'm here on behalf of the state of Ohio, the appellee in this case. We are asking that this court resolve the conflict between the 6th District Court of Appeals and the 9th District Court of Appeals by holding that the state is not required to prove a prior conviction for purposes of enhancing a domestic violence conviction through a journal entry, and when the state does elect to prove the prior through a journal entry, that the state is not mandated to comply with Criminal Rule 32C. And the state would ask that the court make that finding based on several reasons, including first, the plain, unambiguous language of the domestic violence statute, which mirrors the DUI statutes, which say that a conviction is enhanceable if the defendant has previously pled guilty or been convicted of a prior offense.
So, counsel, that is a fact that the state has to prove, a prior conviction.
Correct,
and the whole point here is, how does the state prove a prior conviction?
Right, and the state would argue that a prior conviction can be proven under 294575B1 through a certified journal entry, or 294575B2 in cases where a driving record would be sufficient, such as in a driving under the influence case, through a certified journal entry, certified BMV records. Also, in State versus McCumbers, a Ninth District case that was a certified conflict case before this court but was dismissed when Mr. McCumbers passed away, in that case, the Ninth District Court of Appeals noted that in addition to the 294575B1 and B2 provisions for providing evidence of a prior conviction, the state can also introduce witness testimony, certified docket entries to show the conviction. And the argument is that the General Assembly's choice of using pled guilty or was convicted of shows that they intended to put a plea of guilty on the same footing as the word conviction, which shows that in this context, a conviction just means guilt. We're not talking about a conviction under Criminal Rule 32C or the arguments we get into for allied offenses under State v. Whitfield.
You're saying that you could prove a prior conviction through testimony of witnesses?
Through, if we had, say, officers who testified to the conviction in addition to a journal entry. These defects did not negate the conviction. And in this case,
How could they not negate the conviction? A court speaks through its journal entry, and when you look at Exhibit 3, you don't even have the plea noted, and you certainly don't have a conviction. So if a court speaks through its journal entry and it's not there, there is no conviction.
The problem with journal, and just to back step for 1 minute, up until the date of trial, these convictions were going to be stipulated to by defense counsel. So it wasn't until the day of trial that the prosecutor was made aware that there was not going to be a stipulation. And the copy on Journal State's Exhibit 3, it was a copy that was wrong. There's a word missing. So if there had been notification that the prior was not going to be stipulated to, there would have been time, I suppose, to get that certified entry.
When you say they were going to be stipulated to, there had been an agreement between the assistant prosecutor and the defense attorney.
In the trial transcript, it's around page 314 in that area of the transcript where there is an argument about the admissibility of the journal entries. The prosecutor for the state, Angela Pothway-Pasek, discusses the fact that up until that point, the defendant was stipulating to all the prior convictions. It had not been an issue. So then on the day of trial, it becomes an issue, and there's this word missing on the journal entry. And it's clear, to get into timeout, that is a punishment. You have
to. Maybe I'm picking your words apart, but mm-hmm. You said up until that time, it was going to be stipulated to. Was there an actual agreement between the assistant prosecutor and the defense attorney that at the hearing the defense was going to stipulate to these convictions?
What it says in the record, and I did not try the case at the court below, it indicates that the prosecuting attorney, when they were arguing about the admissibility of these two exhibits, said, we agreed that we were going to stipulate to these, and the defense counsel says, yes, we were. And then they had another debate about Old Chief, which has been an ongoing issue, especially in the Ninth District, as to the admissibility of priors. And there was a lengthy discussion where the defense attorney acknowledges that he had agreed to stipulate it. There is no oral or written stipulation prior to that in the record that I'm aware of, but there is that agreement reflected in the transcript.
Right. However, this is an element of the offense. We're not talking about an enhancement of the sentence. We're talking about raising the level of the offense from one degree to the next. And this is an element that needs to be proved by the state beyond a reasonable doubt, correct?
Correct.
All right.
And again, the state would go back to the language of 29-19-25, which mirrors 29-41-14-13 and 45-11-19, which says pled guilty or was convicted of. And this language differs greatly from State versus Henderson, which is the case that State v. Finney relied on, which is a theft case that said you had to have a prior conviction. If the General Assembly intended for the state to have to prove a conviction meaning a guilty finding and a sentence, the legislature could have done that. But it carefully selected the phrase pled guilty or was convicted of.
Ms. DiMartino, what evidence or what weight should we give to the statement that it says on the jacket, dismissed?
First of all, with regard to the issue that's before the court, I don't think that the arguments about Exhibit 3 are really relevant. However, when you look
at
Exhibit 3.
Let's start with that.
Yes,
why are you
3?
Suggesting that Exhibit 3 then becomes irrelevant?
Because the Ninth District said that it was not sufficient. And if the state is not required to prove compliance with Criminal Rule 32C, then that's not an issue. The issue is if the state has to prove that the prior conviction complies with Criminal Rule 32C, do we even have to engage in the analysis of Exhibit 3? Exhibit 3 is a sloppy journal entry. There's a word missing. You can tell where it says dismissed. If you look at it, it's relating to count 2, which is a contempt, which came after the domestic violence charge. And in the transcript, when the defendant testifies, he acknowledges that that contempt charge is because he didn't come to court when he was supposed to. The contempt charge was dismissed. It doesn't say that the domestic violence was dismissed. That's extrapolation that Attorney Agarwal is adding in, and it's not evident from that journal entry. That journal entry shows that he had a timeout program. And in my experience, most courts do not offer diversion for enhanceable offenses like domestic violence and DUIs, because the legislator has put in these enhanceable provisions in the statutes, and they're only in a few, because it's important to recognize that DV batterers and DUI offenders repeat, and generally it escalates in violence, and we need to protect the public and the victims.
So your view is, if we carefully read that entry, the dismissal refers to the contempt, not to the domestic violence.
Yes, Your Honor. It's under count 2, the provision that deals with the contempt only.
Thank you.
And in this case, the spirit and the purpose of Criminal Rule 32C with regard to the priors was met. The purpose for Criminal Rule 32C, as this court pointed out in State v. Lester, is to make sure that the defendant is on notice that there's a final judgment and that his appeal time has begun to start. And in this case, especially when Mr. Gwynn testified, he acknowledged that he had the timeout program imposed on him in municipal court. He acknowledged that he was in court before Judge Cosgrove on another domestic violence, which involves the same victim that was in this case. So the spirit and the purpose of Criminal Rule 32C was met. What the defendant wants is a bright-line rule that says the only way that the state can prove a prior conviction for enhancement purposes is through a certified journal entry of conviction that complies with Criminal Rule 32C, and that is against what the General Assembly articulated when it wrote the domestic violence provisions and the DUI provisions. It's inserting words that are not present in the Ohio Revised Code. The General Assembly said pled guilty or was convicted of, and it rewards defendants who do not correct a journal entry when they're aware that it has a nunk-pro-tunk type of a error. This case, especially the Court of Common Pleas case that says misdemeanor instead of first-degree misdemeanor, that could have been corrected. It was, you know, as Prosecutor Wypasek indicated, a little bit of sandbagging going on there when there was going to be a stipulation, and now there's not enough time to fix it. If it had been corrected by a nunk-pro-tunk under Lester, that would have related back to the date of the conviction, and it would have had no effect then. It would have been comply with Criminal Rule 32C even, and it certainly would have been the basis to show a prior conviction.
Were you under a speedy trial issue that you could not have requested a continuance on the date that you found out this was an issue?
I don't remember from the transcript if that was an issue, and I didn't recalculate it for appeal. I didn't.
Because it seems as if you're shifting the burden to the defendant. The defendant should have done a nunk-pro-tunk judgment entry. The defendant tried to sandbag. I'm not following your argument.
I'm not trying to shift the burden. I'm just saying, as a matter of public policy, if you have defendants, I mean, we're talking about domestic violence and DUI convictions all across the state that could be affected by the court's decision in this case.
So shouldn't the state make sure those journal entries are correct?
The state always should check that those journal entries are correct. But sometimes, especially if the definition of what a final appealable order is or what rule applies, in the 9th District, Criminal Rule 32C has never applied to what's required to prove an enhancement. So if the state was never required to prove that a journal entry is to comply with Criminal Rule 32 for enhancement, then we wouldn't be doing that. If that rule had applied in the 9th District at the time of this trial, the state would have asked for a continuance and fixed it. But it didn't. The law in our district was that Criminal Rule 32C doesn't apply. And we've got McCombers and recently State versus Crutchfield out of the 9th District. That's been the holding in our district.
Counsel, for, as a matter of context and as a practical matter, how does the state approve prior convictions in the 9th District?
In the 9th District, generally, they're stipulated to. So there's that. We also use... In McCombers, we use the certified Bureau of Motor Vehicle Records for DUI. We use certified prior journal entries, and then we have an officer come in and testify to show that it's the same defendant that's in the journal entry. And often they testify as to the fact that that's a conviction, and they're aware of it. So that testimony would correct any defect that would be in the journal entry when you look at the law in the 9th District, which the State v. McCombers with cites to several other districts, including the 2nd, that allow witness testimony and certified docket entries. Certified docket entry would show that there was a conviction, even though you wouldn't have the journal entry where you could raise these arguments about a defect. If Mr. Agarwal is not arguing that these defects rose to the level of a constitutional infirmity that would cause the judgment to be void, then his argument is asking this court to adopt the viewpoint that these priors somehow now don't exist. And in these cases, you've got victims, especially on domestic violence, that often recant. We have a hard time sometimes proving those cases at all. And if it's going to be a situation where now the priors are basically minimized and not allowed to enhance offenses, offenders like Mr. Gwen are going to be the ones who benefit from it. Like I said, the victim in the 2002 case before Judge Cosgrove, Exhibit 4, that involved the same victim.
Mr. Marco, you said certified docket entries are proof of conviction. Have we ever said that? Do you have a Supreme Court case that talks about certified docket entries?
No, they are appellate court.
We're talking only about what the Ninth District has done.
And I believe in McCombers they cite to a Second District case that talks about.
All right. And you're aware that the Sixth District has a different perspective on this.
And the Sixth District in Finney analyzed Henderson and looked at a theft statute which specifically said through the General Assembly that to enhance it, it had to be convicted of. And that language was different from this statute, which says pled guilty or was convicted.
So are you arguing it's not really a conflict because they're looking at different statutes and they're
what they said is in conflict, but how they got there, I think they followed faulty reasoning because they relied on a Supreme Court case, but the Supreme Court case was looking at a revised code section that required a conviction.
Okay, so other than the Sixth District, what other districts are you aware of around the state? The Ninth obviously does it, as you have described in response to Justice Cupp's question. What about the other appellate districts? Is this a confused issue for them, to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, Finney is the only case that is out there.
And how are the other districts doing it?
To my knowledge, they're using 2945-75B1, the journal entry, but not one that complies with Criminal Rule 32C, and then in McCombers, the Ninth District cited to some other cases where they're using certified docket entries coupled with witness testimony.
Have you found other appellate court district opinions on this topic?
Not other than what is in my brief and what we've discussed today, I have not.
All right, so in response then to the certified question, must the state prove prior offenses by producing journal entries that meet all the requirements for a judgment of conviction under Criminal Rule 32C, is there any district that requires that at the moment, to your knowledge?
Just the Sixth District in Finney.
Okay.
And again, they were examining that theft section of the revised code, which said to enhance that offense, it had to be a conviction.
Thank you.
If there's nothing further, I would conclude.
Thank you, Ms. DiMartino.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Aguilar, you've got about a minute and a half of time reserved.
May it please the Court. Your Honor, the first I want to correct is the stipulation. There was no stipulation at trial court between the defense attorney and the prosecutor. We talked about it, but there was nothing filed, nothing accepted by the courts. There was no stipulation. The prosecutor might have thought that they had something, but there was no stipulation. Now, the second issue I want to say is this case is almost identical to State versus Henderson. The language is convicted of, same as in the domestic violence. And in there, this court said that to prove it, the prior, it has to be a conviction, has to comply with Criminal Rule 32C. Now, the state is saying what takes it out of Henderson is the language pled to. We are saying that is a distinction without a difference. Again, in order to have the conviction or a convicted of offense, you need evidence, and the evidence has to comply with 32C. If we say somebody pled guilty of, that is not a conviction because the state, one, the judge doesn't have to accept somebody pleading guilty. The defendant could enter a diversionary program and have that dismissed. The defendant could withdraw his plea prior to sentencing. None of those you'd say is then a conviction. So we would say to plead guilty of or convicted of is a conviction under Criminal Rule 32C.
Mr. Agarwal, if I understood Ms. DiMartino, I asked her about the word dismissal that was on, I think it's Exhibit 3. She suggested that related only to the contempt charge, not to the domestic violence. Do you agree with that analysis?
We disagree, Your Honor. And you have to remember, the only evidence at trial to prove the enhancement under State's Exhibit 3 was the defendant's own testimony where he said, I was never convicted of this offense. They didn't bring in any officer, they didn't bring a judge, they didn't bring any witnesses to say he was actually convicted.
You don't think the dismissal relates to count two in that case on the contempt, and the transcript doesn't support that one way or the other?
The only evidence is talking about this is the defendant himself when he testified after the state arrested, where he said, I was never convicted of this offense, nor did I ever plead guilty to this. That's the only evidence that the state is then saying that this is actually...
How many counts were there on that charge?
In this offense?
Yes.
One.
Well, there was a contempt charge, right?
I'm sorry, are you talking about State's Exhibit 3?
I'm talking about the dismissal entry that you raised in your initial argument.
We don't know what that dismissal was as far as the contempt. We're showing it says contempt, but that was to pay court costs of $140. But we're arguing that the dismissal applies to the entire charge here.
All right.
And again, there was no evidence to the contrary. So respectfully, Your Honor, we'd ask the court to reverse the lower court and remand this case for a sentencing on a misdemeanor of the first degree. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Agarwal. The case is submitted. You will be notified of the outcome when we have it.
Thank you.